BBC Education. And we start with history, using the evidence. In the next 3 days, we'll be looking at our series entitled History Mysteries, which will include The Body in the Bog and King Arthur. That'll be followed tomorrow by The Gunpowder Plot and The Mary Celeste. And finally, Who Killed the Princes and Skara Brae. Now here's The Body in the Bog, written by David Williams.
Expect me to turn out decent copy on a machine that jumps every 5 seconds. Oh, don't you start. This has to be ready by 2. I've had no lunch, nobody else in the rotten office. How can I think with a phone ringing? Yes?
Oh, sorry. Only I thought this was the number for the local paper.
Yes, that's right. Wilmslow World. What do you want? I mean, what can I do for you?
Are you the lady who came and talked to me about the school?
Pardon?
You know, last year, when we were digging peat out on Lindow Moss, we found this skull.
Oh, right, yes, I remember.
Only, well, I thought I'd ring and tell you. We found a foot now.
A foot? Out on the moss again?
Yeah, not far from where the skull was. The machine brought it up. Not just bone either, all flesh on it and everything.
What about the rest of the body?
Dunno. Boss told us to stop digging. Call the police in, like.
Are they there now?
Car passed as I was on my way to ring you. Looked like that inspector. You know, the same one as last time.
Right. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Will we get his picture in the paper again?
Of course you will. If I can drag our photographer out of the pub. So much for my report on the Scout's summer fate. You're spiked. To be replaced by the gripping story of the body in the bog.
Oh, look at these shoes. They're ruined.
Found the rest of our victim yet, Inspector?
Eh? Yeah, what are you doing here? You should have been stopped at the gate.
A press card gets you anywhere.
Trampling on clues.
Have you got any?
You ruin your shoes and all.
The foot was found here, wasn't it? And the woman's skull they dug up last time, that was way over there. So is it one body or two?
Well, what do you think?
Maybe we're standing on the site of an ancient graveyard.
You get bones from old graves, not well-preserved flesh.
But there was flesh on that skull, remember? And the experts said it was centuries old.
Experts? If that skull was as old as they say, how come on the day it appeared, I was able to visit a house just a stone's throw from here and arrest a certain suspect?
The man who killed his wife.
The man who confessed to killing his wife when I told him what we'd found in the bog.
Maybe he spoke too soon.
Or maybe the so-called expert spoke too soon. Sometimes these people look so deep into things they can't see what's going on under their noses.
Her ears must be burning.
Who's?
The woman, climbing over the fence.
Oh.
She's the county archaeologist.
What's she doing here? I never called her.
No, I did.
Afternoon, Inspector. Another interesting find, I hear. Can I see the foot?
It's been taken away for examination.
By your people? I hope they know what they're doing.
They're experts in their field.
I thought you didn't care for experts.
Found anything else?
We're undertaking a thorough search. In my opinion, this is a murder inquiry, and I would appreciate if you didn't disturb anything...
Here. Stick it out from that peat stack.
Piece of plastic or a...
No, it's a flap of skin. That's human skin.
Great. Eyewitness report. What a story. Let's have a look.
See where the tip is black and hard? It's been exposed for some time. My guess is the peat cutter ripped the foot away some weeks ago and it's laying half buried till now.
And the rest of the body is lying in the stack?
Well, some of it anyway. Let's hope the cutter hasn't done too much damage.
You men, get over here with those spades.
You can't attack it just like that. Don't you realise? If this body is as old as I think, we could be involved in one of the most important archaeological finds ever made in Britain.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Oh,
come on, be reasonable. This corpse isn't going to get up and run away. Let's do it properly. After all, we both need all the clues we can save.
I suppose so. All right, what do we do?
Well, it's going to take some time to set up. We must avoid exposing the body to the air, so once we're sure of its position, it'll be best to cut the block of peat surrounding it. It will be heavy, of course, but we'll have to find a way of lifting the whole block out in one piece.
How old is the Lindo Bog body? Controversy still rages over the corpse excavated last week from Lindo Moss and now lying in a Macclesfield mortuary. Archaeologists believe that the body may have lain in the bog since Roman times, or perhaps the Iron Age. Some local police feel it might be the victim of a recent murder. Detailed investigation is not yet possible, as the body is still encased in a protective covering of peat while its immediate future is decided. However, X-ray examination through the peat has revealed no metal objects such as fillings, which would be expected in modern man. And academics point out that the body was discovered under at least 2.5 metres of undisturbed peat. This suggests a long period of burial. Against that evidence is the remarkably well-preserved condition of the severed foot which started the investigation. The coroner has called for a C14 dating on samples from the body. This advanced scientific technique should prove beyond reasonable doubt at least its approximate age. And then the mystery will really begin. For how the body got there in the first place, nobody knows.
Yep.
Hello, Inspector. Got a nice quote for the Wilmslow World.
What about?
The body in the bog.
Speak to our press officer.
He'll only refer me back to you.
Well, ring the county archaeologist, then. She'll only be too pleased to tell you all about it.
She already has. She said the result shows the body is at least 1,000 years old.
Give or take 200 years. What I'd like to know is, if these scientists claim to be so exact in their measurements, how come they're so vague in their conclusions?
So you don't believe the test is accurate?
Don't you dare quote me.
Afraid you'll get your knuckles rapped by your superior officers.
My superior officers are cooperating fully with the British Museum.
So, we've lost our local bog body.
Even as we speak, he's being wheeled in his little box to London. They've taken him over lock, stock and barrel. Even given him a name.
What is it?
Get this. Pete Marsh.
Ladies and gentlemen, please don't push. There are enough photographs for all. You'll find the press handouts on the table.
Can't we take our own pictures of the body?
Impossible, I'm afraid. We have to keep his environment stable.
You let the telly people in, and the Sunday Times.
One law for the rich.
The provincial papers get nothing, and he's ours after all.
If you'll just settle down, please. The professor has some interesting news.
Thank you. Well, we've had quite an exciting week revealing our friend Pete Marsh to the modern world.
It is a man, then?
Yes, we're pretty certain of that. As you see from the photograph, he has a beard. Well, we don't have more definite evidence of his sex, as the peat cutting machine must have sliced him through at the waist, and much of the lower half of his body has been lost, unfortunately.
How did he die?
Well, not quite sure of that yet. I should point out that this has only been a basic excavation so far. The detailed tests start next week, but we have already come across something very interesting. If you study the photograph closely, you will see what looks like a long scar around his neck.
Yeah, I see.
Well, this is, in fact, a thin cord encircling the neck and indeed digging into it.
Does this mean he was strangled?
Garrotted, I think, would be a better term. The knot of the cord is cut very close, so there are no loose ends for the killer to have pulled the rope tight. Perhaps a piece of wood was used to twist the cord tighter and tighter into his neck.
Charming.
But, of course, this is only guesswork until the forensic examination is done.
Professor, how do you know this wasn't a recent murder?
The radiocarbon tests.
But what other evidence do you have? What about his clothes? What period are they from?
The body was completely naked except for a fur band on the left arm.
So you're relying completely on the carbon-14 test to determine his age?
Well, there are other clues too. See how his face has been flattened by the weight of peat. That must have occurred over many years.
What I notice about his face is how all the skin and hair still look fresh. You can even see the wrinkles on his forehead.
Peat has a remarkable preserving quality. This body is very similar in condition to the other Iron Age examples excavated from bogs in Denmark.
I've been reading about those. Wasn't there one called Grau?
Graubelman.
Graubelman.
Yeah, probably 2,000 years old and incredibly well preserved.
According to some people, he was really a peat cutter who disappeared only about 50 years before that find. His name was Red something.
Red Christian. Yes, I know that story. It's nonsense. A rumour spread by an old farmer's wife. Carbon-14 dating proved...
But she was backed up by an expert. A museum man.
He was no expert. Just a local nobody. A hick from the sticks.
Well, that's what I am, Professor. A hick from the sticks. Just a local reporter, not from the posh nationals that you've been letting in to see this peat marsh, this great historic world discovery that just happens to have been first announced by my local hick paper. Peat Marsh's local rag.
No need to get upset.
I'm not upset. I'm just suspicious. How do I know you London experts aren't all fools or con men? For all I know, Peat Marsh's killer might be my next door neighbour.
Look, I take your point. Can I have a word with you after the press conference? Now, if we can just move on.
You had him rattled there. Do you really think these London boys have got this all wrong?
Of course not. But if I keep my mouth going, they might just let me in on the tests, eh?
I hope this trip's going to be worthwhile. I've left a pile of work back at the station.
Come off it. You're as anxious as I am to get a closer look at our friend and to see what clues they've come up with.
Well, I like to see a case through. Still don't know how you wangled this private visit for us, though.
Tactical tantrums. Plus, they want to get us on their side. That Red Christian story made a lot of waves in Denmark, and the whole thing was started by local people, local press. They'll be anxious to convince us their theories are right.
I'll take some convincing.
Fascinating, though, isn't it? I find myself thinking about old Peat Marsh all the time. Who was he? What was he doing on Lindo Moss? Who killed him? Why?
Here he is.
It's incredible. Like a piece of sculpture, carved in perfect detail.
He is real enough.
Yes. I feel he's going to hoist himself out of that position any minute.
He must have been foreign. Look how dark his skin is. That's a tanning process caused by the peat.
His shoulders are broad, aren't they?
He was a powerfully built young man.
Young?
Not much more than 25, judging by his teeth and bones. Fit and healthy. Even his nails are beautifully smooth and well kept. There's no evidence of any disease or disability. We're pretty sure he didn't die a natural death.
But you already know how he died. By garrotting.
Now we've done the detailed tests, we find it's a bit more complex than that. You'll be interested in this, Inspector.
Mm.
Our man certainly suffered a brutal death. Let me show you these x-rays. We found two head wounds, here, over the crown of the head, and here, on the scalp, probably caused by a narrow-bladed weapon.
An axe.
Used from behind while the man was standing or kneeling. The blows were severe, and we think they knocked some of his teeth out. There is another deep wound at the right side of his neck, probably caused by a knife, and one of his ribs is broken.
Vicious.
So you know a lot more about how he died, but are you any nearer to who killed him, or why?
We have one or two theories. It's cold in here. Let's go up to my office to talk. I have to confess to you, we're still not sure exactly when Peat Marsh lived and died. But I can assure you, it was a very long time ago.
Yes, something about that face.
Cruel murders like that, they have gone on for as long as man has walked the earth, haven't they, Professor? And all because of greed.
Greed?
That man was killed because he had something others wanted. Jewellery, maybe, what passed for money in those days.
Do you think so?
I knew it as soon as you mentioned his fingernails. Smooth, no scratches. That's a man who had others do the manual work for him, so he had wealth and power. Why did he end up stripped naked in a bog? I'll tell you. There's a settlement just near this bog. Our man is some kind of chief or leader here. A couple of no-goods have had their eyes on him, wanting his purse, his fine clothes, the gold stuff he wears to show his rank. One winter morning, the village is working. Chief has nothing to do. Goes off for a walk. only stalked by these two villains. As soon as they get to a lonely spot down by the marsh, they jump him from behind, one with an axe, the other with a knife. He's got no chance. They take everything, clothes, valuables. Then just before they dump him in the bog, they make double sure he's dead by cutting his throat and squeezing a cord round his neck so the blood gushes out. They push him down into the mud, and when the body is completely covered, they run for it. The village never sees the chief or this pair again.
Brilliant.
Yes, Inspector. You could be right. A sort of early mugging. Some of my colleagues have come to the same conclusion.
Do you have a different theory?
I'm not sure. There are some strange similarities between this man's death and the evidence found in other bog burials across Europe. Bodies with ropes around the necks, bodies with their throats cut. Bogs had a deep religious significance for the Celts and others. The Roman historian, Tacitus, writes about human sacrifices in boggy places.
So Lindo Moss might have been a place of sacrifice?
It's possible. Remember the woman's skull found in the bog?
Yes.
Perhaps she was the chosen person one year and Pete Marsh the next. He may even have been a willing victim. In some religions, it was considered a great honour. The day before the sacrifice, he eats a ritual meal of unleavened bread with a little mistletoe, the holy berry. There is dancing in the night, and in the cool dawn, he is led to the bog, the sacrificial altar. He kneels and allows a cord to be fastened tight around his neck. He's a brave, strong man, and he holds his head proudly as the priest behind swings the axe once, twice. The priest takes out his sacrificial knife and cuts the throat of the victim, twisting the rope so the blood flows out richly to please the god. He pushes the corpse into the bog with so much force it breaks a rib, and Pete Marsh sinks slowly down to his final honourable resting place.
He allowed this to happen to him?
Maybe.
That would explain something. When I saw his face, I thought it looked peaceful. As if he was sleeping.
I thought so too. Not the face of a man who had been horribly murdered.
Sounds far-fetched to me. Religious sacrifices, you're reading too much into it. A man was murdered and robbed. Simple as that.
I suppose we'll never know. Only he could tell us what really happened. I'm glad, in a way, that no one can completely unravel the mystery. It seems right that Pete Marsh should be able to keep something to himself. Let people make their own minds up. Whichever way you look at it, it makes a great story.
That was The Body in the Bog. Those taking part were Joanna Mackey, Richard Tate, William Simons, Joan Walker, and Stephen Rashbrook. The programme was written by David Williams and produced by Elizabeth Cleaver.